Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out, we'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all, a little bit of golf, maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back Rocky.
Let's start the show.
That's right. Let's start the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to our show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, hyped up to talk sports after a crazy sports weekend and even busier and eventful sports Monday. Give us a call. Let's talk some sports. 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, rayandtaytoday.com, Facebook, tweet at us. We're everywhere. Ray, I thought we were going to start with some Sunday Night Football and that catch and baseball and all that, but we got to start with a little bit of sad news. Just came across the wires that Kansas City Chiefs All-Pro safety Eric Berry has a mass that they found in his chest and is going to take a leave of absence from the team. And they're going to find out if it's lymphoma or something. Just sad news. But he's released a statement. He's taking it like a champ and is going to put up the good fight. And our prayers and well wishes definitely go out to him. Your thoughts on Eric Berry?
Yeah, you know, as a 25-year-old kid, I guess the good thing about being a football player is you're always being poked and prodded and doctors and x-rays and MRIs. So if
right, he had pain after the game. After the game on Thursday night, he had pain in his chest.
So I'm saying if being an athlete in this respect helps because you get good medical attention and people keeping their eyes on you, because this is not – you know, a football-related injury. This is probably something that's hereditary or something that he's always had. So hopefully they caught it early enough at age 25 and he'll get the best medical care. I like the fact that the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chiefs, they all, you know, tweeted out the Chargers. They all tweeted out their support because they said, look, you know, we can be going at it, dueling on the field, but at the end of the day, nobody wants one of our brethren to go down like this, you know. Health, everybody first and foremost needs to be healthy. So, yeah, we wish our best for a quick, speedy recovery. I think he's on the non-football injured reserve, so he's probably done for the season. I'm just hoping that he can come back and be himself next season. I don't know. I'm no medical doctor. I don't even play one on the radio. But we do wish our best to Eric Berry. Hell of a player, all-pro. A heck of a pull. I think it was number five overall pick coming out of Tennessee.
Pretty high, I have him
on my fantasy team. Y'all should know that Tay talked Ray into a fantasy team that includes defense. And you
we got
a linebacker.
ESPN, that's right.
A safety, a linebacker. And I have Eric Berry. He's one of my players. But no, on the real. We wish him a speedy, you know, quick diagnosis and a speedy recovery.
So I will say this. We're going to talk about last night. And at the end of the show, we'll do the Monday night game. But after we finish talking about last night, we got to preview the early Monday night game, Jets, Bills, in Detroit. But I got to salute your Cowboys. That was impressive. Romo, in the last, 3 years, has got the most 27 game-winning or tying drives at the end of the game, fourth quarter. And I just knew they were going to win that game. You try to put that catch in perspective from Odell Beckham. It's a shame that it's in a losing, matter. But I can't say it's the greatest catch ever only because of what's on the line, really nothing. But in terms of just a three-finger catch going against your body, falling, you know what I mean? Like putting it into your palm, That's pretty incredible, amazing, whatever you want to use, Ray. Catch. But, what are your thoughts about the catch and the Cowboys' victory?
The first thing that came to mind, let me start with the catch. The first thing that came to mind was stick 'em, ha, 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 stick 'em. Because
Fred Biletnikoff, right? The Raiders and
Lester Hayes.
Freddie
Biletnikoff, Lester Hayes, the replacements. When you
ladies and gentlemen, let's just make it clear. That's Tom's favorite movie. It's not like there's no drama. There's no like Schindler's List or like Waiting to Exhale or what's the movie with Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins? The great
Shawshank
Redemption. All those great pictures, Rocky, you know, the Taxi Driver, Godfather, Goodfellas. Ray's favorite movie, folks, you hear him reference at least once every other month, is The Replacements. So don't play yourself. I'm going to tell your
so
wife.
Tell me that they don't,
you
run
don't
already
that movie.
Know. They don't run that movie a million times on TV. But anyway, but for real, though, that might be physically the best catch ever. I agree with you that maybe because it wasn't in a Super Bowl or even in the playoffs that you may not.
Right.
But in terms of physical degree of difficulty, first of all, he was fouled. Brandon Carr wanted to stop him, and he fouled him. He basically mugged him. Then he caught the ball. Then he landed in bounds, and he scored a touchdown. I mean, you know what?
The balance,
if they do that 100 times, I'm not sure he catches it once. If you were to try to practice that, you just can't do that.
But give this kid credit. He does practice those. Remember, we've seen him, and they show him some of his
clips. He does practice sideline catches and things like that
all the time. I love it.
But I don't think you could replicate that. But
no, not the
bounce. I said it last week before the game. You know, so I'm not riding the bandwagon. A star is born. Odell Beckham Jr. is a stud. And not only is he a stud, to me, he's got far more upside than Victor Cruz, especially coming back off the injury. To me, he is
He's an outside receiver. He's not just a slot receiver. He's the real deal. You're right.
But you know what it does, though, Ray?
It does, next season, make the Giants with a healthy Victor, Randall, Beckham, and Larry Donnell. It makes them have a very formidable offense, and you got to believe McAdoo's offense will only improve. Because remember, I think when he started at Green Bay with this offense, they started off like 4-8, and then it continued to become this great offense. So give it time. I think what the Giants need is offensive line, and obviously they had a ton of injuries on defense, so they need some defense. So look, as Giants fans, you're going to look forward to next season. Right now, for the Cowboy fans, you guys are, if it ended today, what, the fifth seed, you'd be playing in a 4-5 game, going to New Orleans, which I think you could win, and the Cowboys look good, and DeMarco Murray is on pace to be very close to 2,000 yards. Des Bryant was big in the second half, and Romo's playing great. And look at all the protection and the time they have.
You say right now we're the number 5 seed, but by record, the Cowboys have the second best record in the NFC. So they lose on tiebreakers, but you know, the Cowboys could be anywhere from 2-5, right?
Oh, hey, Thursday and Thanksgiving, we're eating our turkey, and you guys could smack it to the Eagles, and there you go, division lead.
Right. If they beat the Eagles, then they take second place. They take the number 2 seed over in the conference. But, you know, I was impressed. You know what I was impressed most by was the poise. Poise that the Cowboys went down, and they didn't start pointing fingers, and they didn't start doing that, and they just said, you know what? We need to matriculate the ball down the field to win this game. And they did. And Tony Romo, for as much as you kill him, and everybody does for his December play, up until December, he is awesome. And he brings the team back, and he puts up numbers, and he's
having
a gamer.
A great year.
He is. And I frankly am surprised. I thought it was back and his legs. I thought he wouldn't hold up. But I'm pleasantly surprised as a Cowboy fan, I have to admit it.
Well, it's a lot easier to hold up when you're getting two-hand touch pass rush on you with that big offensive line. They're almost like the Cowboys offensive line in the 90s. It's a great ball.
And give Jerry Jones, the GM, who's been much maligned, give him credit. Yeah. When he decided to rebuild 3 years ago, drafting Tyron Smith late first round from USC, drafting the kid, the center,
Frederick,
who everybody jumped down his throat saying this guy was a graded out of the third round grade. You pick him in the first round, and then the kid from Notre Dame might be the best of them all. And then, of course, Doug Free and the rest of the line. He went back to the formula of the late 80s, early 90s, when the team turned it around and they had Nate Newton and Stepnoski and Larry Allen and all those guys. The horses, everybody talks about Emmitt and
Big Three,
so,
yeah,
right?
But it was that
Aiken,
line,
Emmitt,
the great wall,
but
yeah.
That offensive line, like we kept saying, if Barry Sanders had that offensive line, he'd run for 5,000 yards.
He'd still be running.
give Jerry Jones credit. You know, he gets knocked a lot, but he's put consistently. You may say there's some chemistry issues, but he's always put decent talent on the field. That roster has never been lacking of talent. You know how sometimes we look at the Jets roster on offense and say, you know what, there's just no talent on offense. But you can't really say that about the Cowboys. You can say different things. You can say maybe they're a little bit overrated. They make too much hype for what they have. But Jerry Jones is a decent GM. I can't knock him for that.
You can't knock him. Before we move on to baseball, we'll just say this about Manning, and it's sort of lumped in with RG3, and we'll talk about that later. But just the two of them, and obviously the Redskins lost to the Niners in a very close game. But Manning and Griffin, both of them have contract extensions or, you know, options coming up. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I could see where both the Giants and Redskins say we could trade these guys and move on. It's a lot harder to do it with RG3 because the owner likes him and he's still so young and showed a great talent, even though he's been injury prone. And then Manning, he's shown rings and inconsistency up and down, this and that. He's never been hurt. He's an Iron Man. But at what year, I don't know, 9, 10, whatever long he's been playing, the mistakes that he makes, the throws that sometimes you feel like he throws it away because he doesn't want to get hit. I mean, Manning makes some throws like Jay Cutler and Sanchez that are just, you know, unfathomable. Like, you're like, what is he doing? This is like a Super Bowl winner making these passes. And I just wonder if the Giants and Redskins might move on from those two quarterbacks. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't think you can. I think both are stuck because the Giants, Eli's won you two Super Bowls, and you've got to think, if you're Jerry Reese, that you're in contention every year. So I don't know that you have the luxury to rebuild. And unless a Marcus Mariota falls in your hands, I'm not sure there's anybody out there that's better right now than Eli. Now, maybe in 2-3 years they will be. So I think for better or for worse, you're stuck with Eli, and you're just going to have to pay the price, and you're going to have to pay him, you know, top 5, top 10 quarterback money because he's got you two Super Bowls. But you know me and Eli, we have this love-hate relationship or respect-hate relationship because I've never seen a guy who may even go into the Hall of Fame who can be so inconsistent and who can be so disappointing in his, what do you say, his 10th, 2005, right? That was the Roethlisberger class, right? So it was the 05 season, I guess. So this is his 10th season, and he plays so up and down. And for a guy, I can never remember that the first thing that you'll say about a Hall of Famer potentially is that he's inconsistent. And then you say he won two Super Bowls and he was crazy clutch on the road in 07 and 2011. But first thing I would say about this guy is he was inconsistent. And Brett Favre, at least you said to yourself, you know what, he's a gunslinger.
Well, he's a risk taker, yeah.
The bad. He's a risk taker. But that's different. Like, this guy led the league in interceptions 3 years. Usually you're out of the league. You're Jamarcus Russell. You're out of the league if you lead the league in interceptions more than once. That means they're giving you time and time again to throw the ball. And yet he has these two spectacular seasons in 07 and 11 where they were, what, 9-7 and then 10-6 and won,
like,
what, five
hey,
out of six?
Better than his brother. you're like, you're
five out of six on the road. So Eli Manning is just a, I don't know, he's just an enigma, but I think the Giants are stuck with him. And I think RG3 can always revert back to the fact that he's not healthy. So maybe, or at least Dan Snyder can. So maybe, and Jay Gruden is too young a head coach, I don't think he has the pull to basically say RG3's got to go. So I think RG3 gets another chance.
He's starting to learn. Let's be fair. I mean, the kid has missed a lot of time because of injuries.
And so, another system, right? Another coach, another system, and he's probably not healthy.
I don't think he's healthy either. So, listen, before we get to the MLB news, because we got to talk about it, because we got to talk about what's happening in Boston, let's pick the early Monday night game, because it will start during our show. The Jets and the Bills, supposed to be at the Bills, but because of 71 inches of snow, it's in Detroit, 7 p.m. Eastern. Gosh, I feel like it's such an unfair advantage for the Bills. And Kyle Orton has already won in that stadium. And as much as I love the Jets and with the disadvantage, I think the Bills, I think they're just going to rally. And I think some guys like Fred Jackson and Sammy Watkins, they got healthy with the rest. I think it doesn't matter that the Jets are coming off a bye because, like you said, it comes down to talent. And I just don't think the Bills' pass rush will be stopped by the Jets' offensive line and the talent that the Jets have. I think it'll be a scrappy game. It might be a little sloppy from the Bills. But at the end of the day, Marcell Dareus, Super Mario Williams, maybe Sammy makes some plays. I think the Bills win something kind of close. I'll say 21-17. Buffalo Bills get the victory, Ray, and stay alive in the crowded AFC playoff race.
I agree. I think the Buffalo Bills are the better team. I think being on a dome in a neutral field maybe gives them even more of an advantage, like you said. Playing in the turf would have muddied the game in the snow, in the wet, in the slush, and the talent level would have come down, especially Rex would have played that to his advantage. Now I think it's just a track meet, and I think they've got the better athletes, the Buffalo Bills. So Fred Jackson, Sammy Watkins, even sneaky suspicion you might get a little action from tight ends in this game. Robert Woods,
Scott Chandler, and Robert Woods,
Scotty
yeah,
Chandler
Robert
might catch a touchdown. I think Buffalo wins big. I think they go out and put up 31.
They won by 20 last
Jets.
Time.
Yeah, I think Buffalo puts up 31, and the Jets can only muster up 20. 31-20 is my score. Pretty high scoring game. It'd be interesting to see who the fans root for and what the feel is.
Well,
on
some
the
fans,
field.
I think a lot of Buffalo fans did travel out there, and you know it's a beautiful symmetry and the story of the connection because Ralph Wilson Jr., the owner of the Bills and his stadium, he's from Detroit. Remember, and he came from Detroit to go to Buffalo and help start the AFL and all that stuff. So I think it's poetic justice. So the football gods say that the Bills should win. Now, it's kind of quiet in New York on the baseball front. Shh. The Yankees do not realize that free agency has started, and in hot stove, the Boston Red Sox are taking over the planet, Ray. Wow, they signed Pablo Sandoval. They signed Hanley Ramirez. I mean, $88 million for Ramirez. Sandoval, I think it's, I don't know the final numbers. I know it was supposed to be 95 for 5. I don't know if they're going to keep Cespedes, if they can get Lester back. So the Giants are after Lester now. What do you think about what the Red Sox are doing? And are the Yankees asleep at the wheel? What's going on?
Yankees are definitely asleep at the wheel because the Red Sox just went from being a decent team, and if they get Lester back, they're the favorites to win the AL.
They're jigging a genius, yo.
I mean,
we'll
just like the Tigers were this year, but didn't live up to it. You still got to win the games on the field. Sandoval, now he is not only is he a great addition in the clubhouse,
clutch.
He is clutch.
He could have been MVP in any other season, right? In the World
In any other season. The guy hit 400 of softball numbers. The guy had 400, hit 400 in any other World Series. I bet if you go back 100 World Series, he'd have been the MVP in 95 of them. And it's just that, you know, Madison Bumgarner was just untouchable. So Pablo Sandoval gives them that steady third base great clutch guy, good clubhouse guy, and Hanley Ramirez.
And in that stadium?
Star that, what's interesting is Hanley Ramirez started in the Red Sox farm system and was traded for Josh Beckett, which worked out great for both
and
teams.
And they said he'll probably go to left field, right? You know, his days as shortstop are sort of numbered. So that's a nice place for him to play in left field. I think he could do well. What do you think about that?
Yeah, if Manny Ramirez can play in left field, then his cousin Hanley Ramirez. No, I'm saying it's a forgiving field. It's a short porch. It's a forgiving field. He's a shortstop, right? So you know he's got a gun of an arm. So he'll be fine wherever you put him.
And
ultimately, you're getting him for his bat anyway, right? You're getting him for his unbelievable bat. And think about that lineup, man. Woo!
Wow. I told you after that trade went down, and I remember saying it on the air, I really believed that the Red Sox were setting themselves up perfectly for next season, which will be this season coming up, because I really think they're I think that they'll be in play, because I think Lester, if they can give him the money he's looking for, I think he enjoyed playing at Boston, and I think he could potentially come back. And if they somehow don't want to trade Cespedes and throw somebody a DH, they could have the craziest roster, you know, next to the Angels or whoever you want to say. You know, sky could be the limit. It's going to be interesting.
And I got to say, the Red Sox, think about this, with Will Middlebrooks and Xander Bogaerts, they have youth, and then they brought over two veterans. And think about the Red Sox the last 3 years. They went out and spent all that money for Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez and Josh Beckett. Didn't work out, got rid of all of them, won a World Series the next year, basically stunk it up this year, but then retooled. Now, granted, they retooled the same thing they did a few years ago with some high-priced free agents. So a little bit of buyer beware in the sense that weren't they in this movie 3 years ago? But good for them that they were able to, you know, press the reset button and win a World Series in between. And now they hope that Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval work out better than Crawford and Gonzalez did.
Right, and then we have a couple other moves. It looks like, Steger re-signs or stays with
– Kyle Seager, third baseman for
Mariners.
Seattle. I think he got a lot of money, though. I don't think he's that good, but okay. They need to lock him down.
I don't either. I don't think he's that great. But it looks like our boy, and we've spoken about him and you speak highly of him on the show, Torii Hunter might go back to the Minnesota Twins. What do you think about that?
That would be nice to see him go back there. Retire. I think he can still play for a year or so new stadium and then retire a Twin. What did he win? His 10 gold gloves out there. So that's really nice. That's a good.
Right. And the Orioles
that's a good
might
story.
And the Orioles might wind up, you know, getting Melky Cabrera. We'll see about that. And the Rangers are inquiring about your boy, Justin Upton. That would be interesting. And that stadium
never lived up to expectations, though.
Yeah.
Never lived up.
No, you're kind of right.
Justin Upton and his brother, BJ Upton. I mean, both of these guys have all the tools all the talent to be five-tool athletes and really just be great all-around stars. I mean, you know what I look at them, and you know who I see what they should be? Is they should be Adam Jones, right?
Yes, because Adam Jones, exactly, he's doing it.
Who's doing it on both sides of the field, has speed, has it. They're like the reincarnation of like an Eric Davis.
Now you're warming my heart. Eric Davis was our guy in Cincinnati and then with the Dodgers. Speaking of which, the Dodgers acquire, Niscasio from the Rockies.
Another pickup, another pitcher. Yeah, Juan Nicasio. There he's going to be their fourth starter probably. 28 years old, young guy. They only paid him. They didn't pay him two. I think he was making like $2 million or so last year, and so they didn't pay too much to add some depth to the pitching rotation. I think they're fine. I think the Dodgers feel a little bit snake bitten because they feel like they lost in the playoffs, and their guy, their ace, got hit twice. But
you know what? With that roster and that payroll.
Favored.
Right. But, Ray, be honest. With that payroll, the stadium, all that they're doing there, they have to win now. I mean, honestly, next year, you need to see the Dodgers and the Angels in the World Series with what their owners have been kicking out. And that's the expectation, right?
Yeah, that's their expectation going in every season. And that's why their payroll is going to be the highest in baseball. They're going to be like the Yankees were in the 90s, except the Yankees had that farm system that gave them four or five starters up the middle, and the Dodgers don't really have that right now. So we'll see.
Yeah. So let's bounce to the NBA. Before we get to college football, some, you know, good rivalry games, and then obviously next week is also rivalry week, and we'll talk about that on Friday, and then the NFL. But NBA, Ray, it's a lot of interesting things. And right now, two teams are kind of starting to get in trouble, the Cavs and OKC. More so OKC because they're waiting for their guys to return. But I watched the Cavs, and I have this question, right? Not totally, but right now, is LeBron James a bad leader? Because a couple things. His body language is horrible. He's not playing well. 5-7. This weekend, they got smacked by Washington and Toronto, the two teams ahead of them in the East, who both, by the way, are looking like real contenders. And it's just they're not running offense. They're not getting, you know, don't defend the pick and roll, no rim protector. You know, Kyrie and LeBron both go one-on-one and then kick it out to Love for three-point shots. He's never in the post where he flourishes to get offensive rebounds. I mean, I know we said on Friday not to panic, but two more losses and it's not looking any better. I don't know. Where are you at with them right now?
Still not worried at all. It's the Eastern Conference. It's still the first, you know, quarter of the season. We're not even at the quarter of the season mark. Look, remember that LeBron James is human, right? He left Cleveland to win, and four straight years he went to the finals, went 2-2 in the finals. So he's just used to winning, right? He probably forgot. Like when you have a kid, you forget about those early days, changing the diapers and burping the kid. LeBron James forgot what it's like to teach these young knuckleheads how to be champions and how to be winners.
Be honest. Remember the letter, which Mike, one of our callers, he jumped on him for. And remember, we both sort of defended LeBron with that letter to lower expectations. I don't think he forgot. I think he knew this was going to be a headache. I just think it's bothering him more than he thought. Or maybe there was, Kyrie said something about like, yo, don't make me play like Delonte West and mess with your mom. Like maybe something was said.
Oh, you don't have to go. I got to throw a personal foul on you, man. That's unnecessary roughness.
Yo, I got to mention Delonte
15
West.
Yards.
Yo, Delonte West he might be one of the best NBA characters and thugs ever in the league, yo. I'm sorry. I love LeBron, you know, and I apologize for that. But I'll say like this. Something doesn't smell good in Ohio right now. And everything's smelling good from the Browns, which we'll talk about in a bit. But so I agree with you. Don't panic, whatever. OKC, these guys came to practice the other day. They cannot come back before November 28th. They're still probably a month away. Maybe Westbrook a couple of weeks. But at 3-12, Ray, things are looking very bad. And they're like six games back from the playoff spot. And it's slowly. And even if they play what they said they have to play,
67 more games. You know what?
But 700 ball, winning percentage. They need to play like 700 ball, let's just say, to make – the record of last year's A spot, which was 49 wins. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but the West is better this year. And we don't even know when they come back how they're going to be, because you know Durant's injury. It's one of those things where you could retweak that with the foot at any time.
That's true. But I'm just saying this, and we have a caller, so we'll punch the caller in a sec. They are the two best, potentially two of the top 7 best players in the NBA. So you add those two back, you'll be fine. 67 games, let's say they add them with 65 games, 64 games, they'll be fine. I was hoping, if I'm an OKC fan, that they pull, like we talked about last time, they pull a Tim Duncan in 97, they wait till January or February to bring him back just to get them back in the flow and then get a top 10 pick.
They want to play for a chip. They don't want
I know, they do. But think about how much better they'd be with one of these talented freshmen or just anybody from Kentucky. Just pick anybody from the Kentucky team.
And by the way, we're going to bring the caller in. But, oh, by the way, Kentucky can beat the Sixers. The Sixers are horrible. Kentucky would kill the Sixers.
All right, hold on.
Let's bring this caller in.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Guys, Mike in Pittsburgh, how's it going?
Harry.
Mike, how are you?
Good. Hey, I want to talk about an issue. I actually talked about you guys before the NBA season started, how overrated Kevin Love is. And I think we're seeing it. I mean, the Cavs have lost 4 games in a row, and I told you guys from the get-go, the problem isn't the coach, it's not LeBron James, it's not Kyrie Irving, it's not the supporting cast. It's Kevin Love and how overrated he is as a player and what he does on the court when he has to be the second or third option. They let him do whatever he wanted to when he was in Minnesota. He put up some great numbers. People obviously love seeing that on SportsCenter, the 30 points, 18 rebound games, and people just think he's the second coming. This guy is not a max contract player, and that's what you're going to have to pay him. I don't see Cleveland, you know, they could still go to the finals this year just because the East is weak. But in the long term, if you're going to pay this guy a max contract with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving when his contract comes, it's just not a good recipe. I am just not a Kevin Love fan, and I'd like your thoughts on, because you guys know I've said this all along with you over the 2 years I've talked with you, just how overrated I think Kevin Love is.
You know what? I think you bring up some really good points. And I said when we did our power forward rankings, I said, look, Kevin Love doesn't even approach Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis might be the MVP of the league. He's a young Tim Duncan. But putting that aside, I do think when you play on bad teams and you have the skill set that Kevin Love has, you can put up enormous numbers like he did in Minnesota without really impacting the game. So I give you that. But I will say this, to Cleveland's defense, he is a very, very good player still. Might be overrated. Maybe I agree with you. But think about it. They only need him once they figure out roles and once they figure out their rotation. They don't need him to move mountains. And with his skill set, if Kyrie Irving takes care of the ball and distributes it like he needs to, and LeBron shows the leadership – they could still win championships, overrated or not, as long as the contract of Kyrie Irving doesn't put them over the top. They still have a window, especially under Kyrie Irving's current, you know, a rookie contract and extension. They still have a window to win championships, and maybe in 2 years he leaves for L.A. anyway, right? But I
no, he can leave after this season.
After
Kevin
this
Love
year,
can
yeah.
leave after this season for L.A. if he wants to.
Guys, so what is it. Kevin? What is Kevin Love's skill set, though? What's going to happen when playoffs come, the game slows down defensively, and you don't have a Chris Bosh beside LeBron James, or you're going to Western Conference playing some like Anthony Davis, Tim Duncan, Ibaka, Blake Griffith? I think Kevin Love's going to get exposed to be an average player. I don't really know what his skill set is, to be honest with you.
So you don't think I'll let Tay jump in right after this, but you don't think that he can do what Chris Bosh did?
In the playoffs
hitters?
I don't. I think he's going to be highly exposed defensively in the playoffs, and if he's not hitting that 3-point shot, he's a good offensive rebounder
rebounder
in general, but I've said it time and time again, a lot of his rebounds he gets is because he's backing off his guy defensively and he crashes the boards, you know, which gives a lot of open shots for the guy he's defending. So I just think his rebound numbers are a little bit inflated. But, you know, you put him in a series, which we've never seen him in the playoffs before, and I just think defensively he's going to get exposed.
He's never even been 500.
Yeah, he's never even been 500, and I keep on saying that, too. If he was that good of a player, a top-10 player in the league, you know, they had a decent team around him in Minnesota, enough to maybe make the eighth seed one time in 6 years.
No, those are all fair points. And let me say a couple of things, because you are right on about Kevin Love. I will say this. He's not Bosh, and Kyrie is not yet the winner or the leader that Wade is. So, you know, totally different. But I think, remember how you came down on the letter, and I think LeBron was sort of right in terms of, you know, tempering expectations, because LeBron knows that this team misses pieces. They don't need a Ray Allen. They need maybe a Corey Brewer, but they also need somebody that is truly a solid 4 or 5 defensive rim protector. You know, even like a Noel to block shots or somebody. But I don't think this team, I had the Bulls and Clippers in the finals, and I just don't think this team could get to the finals this year. I think they could have trouble with Toronto or Washington, especially Washington. I mean, Paul Pierce and the way that Beal has come back and the whooping that the Wizards put on the Cavs the other night, the Wizards have an exceptional roster. And when you have Serafin and Humphreys and all that size, Cleveland, with the roster they have today, they're not beating Washington in a 7-game series. But I'll say this, let's be fair, LeBron's not playing great either. And so David Blatt is not, he's not Eric Spoelstra yet. And David Blatt makes a lot of mistakes, sort of like, you know, Mike Smith in Atlanta, the football coach. You know, he's just making these mistakes that should not be made. So it's going to take time. But I will say this, Kevin Love, you're right, can't play defense, but what he could do in the playoffs, and they can win if they get the piece or two that I'm talking about, a Brewer and a shot blocker, they can sort of hide him in the sense that he can score and he can get you 16 and 11 and do enough for them to still win. Do you know what I mean?
Dude,
I think LeBron could protect him.
Before I go, guys, the last thing I wanted to bring up, do you notice anything different in LeBron James? This drastic weight loss, I mean, he looks like he dropped about 20 pounds. It's kind of been documented. He changed his diet a little bit. He looks a little bit different. It's what I've seen him in the last couple of years. I don't know if it's because he's a little more passive because he's trying to get everyone involved, but I just don't see the same explosiveness with the weight loss. It's just maybe something subtle. I don't know if you guys noticed that at all.
I see what you're saying. I think he's quicker, and I think for his knees and what he's doing, I think it was a smart move to lose the weight before he gets a little older, and he's seeing it from Dwayne Wade and just what he's gone through, and he knows the minutes and the pressure. And I think going into the season, he knew that he would have to play more minutes with his team, so it was smart to lose the weight. But I will say this, when you think about him having to sort of be everywhere, and probably I predicted he'd be defensive player of the year because I thought he'd have to cover for everybody. I don't know if he's got that size to sort of rebound and play sort of like the four like he used to. I think he's going to have to be the help three and get steals in the passing lanes on the perimeter. So you're right, but I think he's being a little bit more passive because he's not – look, Kyrie's sensitive. Remember, LeBron said that this team is sensitive and this and that. And I think LeBron's got to stop talking about his teammates in the media like RG3. I think LeBron needs to chill out on that because I think it's going to hurt guys' feelings. I don't think guys like that. You know what I mean? They'll be okay.
Yeah, I did hear you guys bring up the point about the Thunder if you thought they're going to get in the playoffs. I think the wrench for them are the two teams are the Pelicans and the Kings, who no one really expected to be playing well, and you throw those two teams in the mix to the usual suspects that
plus
are usually the five or six teams that make the playoffs, and they might have to put up an outstanding record when Durant and Westbrook come back to get in there.
No, you're totally right, Mike. And don't forget the Suns. They'll have to play 700 balls,
yeah, the Suns,
which they've played
yeah.
in the last couple of years. But, you know, give these guys credit, right? All the players that played in the FIBA World Cup, even Kenneth Faried with that horrible Denver roster, all those players are playing exceptionally well this season. Cousins and Rudy Gay are playing with a new veteran savvy, and the signing of Darren Collison has been fantastic. If the Kings can get one more power forward, because I don't love Carl Landry and I forgot the other one that they have there, you know, if they can get one more power forward to help them out,
I think Jason Thompson, yeah, if they get one more power forward, I think the Sacramento Kings have a real shot to shock the world and get that eighth seed.
What about Rondo?
You know what? Listen,
that's,
the Celtics,
one of the that's one of the teams on the short list here at the deadline that
yeah,
been rumored.
I like the way Collison, McCollum, and Sessions, they've got the three-headed monster there, point guard, led by Darren Collison. I don't think Rondo shoots good enough. I think Collison is a better shooter than Rondo. And don't get me wrong, I love Rondo, but I'm a little – he's got to prove it back to me. He's got to get back. You know what I mean? He's not in that top five, six point guard conversation anymore. And I think, you know who's really shining? John Wall. It's time for us to really start giving John Wall – some props and respect. The jumper's getting a little bit better, the mid-range, less turnovers. He's very long. He's athletic. He plays good D. John Wall is really improving at the point guard. So, Mike, what about
hey
the
guys,
Cowboys before you
for...
go? Say something, man. You got to be pretty
yeah.
impressed.
Yeah. Guys, you know me. I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm skeptical. They are still going to have to take their game up a notch. I mean, they might get in the playoffs, but – I'm not happy with the playoffs. I'm talking about making a run. If you have to go play at Green Bay, and if you look at the NFC East right now, if the Eagles and the Cowboys split these two games coming up in 3 weeks, the Eagles have all the tiebreakers in their favor because of that loss Dallas had Monday night against the Redskins a couple weeks back. So, you know, even if the Cowboys win Thursday, if they lose that game 2 weeks at Philly, Philly still has all the tiebreakers in the division, and as much as you know Romo's playing, you know how well he's playing, to win three games on the road in the playoffs, they still got
their
work to do.
That's Eli Manning
material,
right?
Exactly. And you know they could very easily go play the Saints when the Saints are 7-9 in New Orleans, and you know how good they are at home. But
But I think this year, honestly, I think the Cowboys could win that 4-5 matchup, and I think they could go to New Orleans and beat them. I don't like the Saints this year, and don't forget this. I don't think Kenny Stills is as good as Brandon Cooks and the young rookie. And you know, this is maybe the best rookie class. I talked to Ray about this on the show. I've said, I mean, there's really 10 to 13 pretty decent, better than average, maybe going to be future Pro Bowlers in this receiving class. It's one of the best ever. And Brandon Cooks, they're missing him. Their running backs can't stay healthy. And their defense is just not as good. I think your offensive line could pound the Saints in the ground. And Drew Brees is a little off this season. I think you've noticed that, too.
I agree with you. They could win that game. But what about the following week if they'd have to go to Green Bay or something? And
Mike, don't get greedy. You
guys
are
ready
for a
Super
Bowl run.
Well, that's me. You guys know me.
I know.
Victories. It's Super Bowl or bust with me, guys.
Super Bowl or bust, and you want the Celtics to win the chip. Calm down. Mike, great call like always. Thanks for the call, Mike. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. Enjoy the games tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, oh, that's great. You know, and Mike is right on. I wanted to think more of Kevin Love. But if they don't fix sort of the things I'm talking about, and it might be two pieces, Ray. It really might be a Corey Brewer and a shot protector. He might be right about a seven-game series. Forget about the finals. Dealing with Paul Gasol and Taj Gibson, they will put Kevin Love in his place, Ray. He would have a long series. I don't know.
But you know what? He does things that a lot of other people can't do. That stretch four and hitting threes. So he's a much better
shooter than Bosch.
When he's on his game, he gives the other defenders nightmares too, though. So right. I hear what Mike's saying, and maybe overrated is true for his salary, but I still come back to the fact is everybody would want Kevin Love to be their third best player. Most everybody would want
Take
Kevin
him on
Love.
The Knicks.
To be their second best player, right? You're not asking him to be the best player on your team like he was in Minnesota.
Wait, so can our Knicks win tonight in Houston?
I told you it's a moratorium on the Knicks until they win 10 games.
Okay, wait. So wait, I got a couple more NBA questions real quick before we get to college football. Now, Cleveland better win tonight at home against Orlando. They lose this game, and people in Cleveland are going to be pulling their hair out. But this is the question that I have for you. These three teams, because I'm really impressed with them, are the Grizzlies, Raptors, and Wizards. Are they ready? Are they ready to contend for a title or make a very, very deep playoff run?
I want to say no because I haven't seen enough. But, you know, the NBA is wide open. The NBA, especially the Eastern Conference, is wide open. I don't know that the Grizzlies can go win three series and then go to the finals. It just seems so tough. But then again, it's a war of attrition, and they're two big men, again, and if they can get scoring out of Marc Gasol, I think that's so important. But if Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph give you such a different lineup that not many people in the West, especially because DeAndre Jordan doesn't score, not many people in the West can bang with you like
well,
that.
Well, you
so,
saw the other night, the Grizzlies, what, almost did they win by 20 on the Clippers? They put a spanking on them. So – hey, Buffalo just scored 7-0.
How about them Bills?
I don't know who got the touchdown. Missed who got the touchdown, but Bills up 7-0. So, okay, so we'll leave the NBA alone for a minute. You know, I really think it
Robert
is still
Woods.
Early. Huh?
Robert Woods.
There we go. You just said it. You know, a lot of people still, he's in free agency in fantasy football. A lot of people missing out on the Robert Woods factor. So
USC's finest.
Yeah, man, definitely. Speaking of that, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's take a quick break. Come back with the Saturday Pigskin college football. We'll look at the AP and see what maybe tomorrow they come out with the rankings at 7:00, and then we'll finish up strong with NFL talk. Ray and Tay today. We'll be back.
Ray and Tay, we're back. We got about 15 minutes left in the show, and we're dedicating it to some football.
Ray, real quick, that record.
Oh, my.
Like, gone in a week. LaDainian held it for like 5,000 days or something, and then boom. Melvin Gordon gets it, and then the next week, what did this kid put up? Like 427, Samaje.
Can I just say, I actually feel bad for Melly Mel because, well, first give this kid from Oklahoma credit. Perini? How do you pronounce his name?
Perini or Perrine, yeah, something like that. Samaje.
Yeah, so give him credit because he did what he did, and that's awesome, running for 422. But Melvin Gordon did the respectful thing and got the record by 2 yards, and then they sat him the fourth quarter. So had this been 2 weeks ago that the kid from Oklahoma runs for 427, Melly Mel would have run for 500
without
or at least 430, right? So
without
I kind of feel bad for Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, without a doubt. Before we get to these heavy hitters and some of these games, you know, Baylor pulled out their win. Can I shout out my Terps?
Yo,
Terps, we came into the
Give
Big
us
Ten,
a yo, Terps.
And let me tell you, beating Michigan, yeah, we lost to Michigan State and Ohio State, but beating Michigan, Indiana, you know, we've had some very good wins. We're going to a bowl. We got I think we're 8-3 or 8-4. The Maryland Terrapins have played some good football. Shout out to C.J. Brown. Shout out to Will Likely, the guys. I mean, yo, Terps. Boomer Esiason, Randy White, you know, Vernon Davis, stand up, Torrey Smith, yo, Terps. I had to get that out of my system. And I want to ask you this. We'll look at these AP rankings, and we'll talk about what we think tomorrow's top four will be. So UCLA, they did what I thought they would do, and they handled USC. But right now, how do you look at Mississippi State playing against Mississippi, who lost 30-0 to Arkansas? But Ray, if Arkansas was in like the Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, I mean, they could be a conference winner. This team is really good, Arkansas, man. They almost beat Bama. They beat LSU, Mississippi. I mean, they've been playing some
good
football.
And they weren't even ranked in the top 25.
No, they might get it this week. They might get it this week. And,
for sure.
You know, so what do you think about Hundley and what he did and the big win for UCLA?
That's a big win for UCLA. I don't want to overstate it because, you know, UCLA used to be obviously they were considered more of a basketball school. But you know what? This team pleasantly surprised me. They took care of business. I predicted they'd win, though. I predicted they'd pull it out. And you know what? They got something going there. They got something going. They stumbled a little bit in the beginning of the season, but they got something going. So I actually like what I saw. I think they're going to be a little bit – it's hard for them to move, right? I think they can only move up one spot because Ole Miss
beat Oregon
getting blown
in the
out.
Title game.
Right. That's their only shot. So if they handle their business and beat Oregon, then we can talk. Because otherwise, they just have a good – you know, they'll end up – even if they lose to Oregon, I still think they'll end up top 10. But if they beat Oregon – they go, 11-2? That would be very, very impressive. So, you know, I always like Hundley. I think that he's the man. So he had a great game. What, he go for 325 or so, three touchdowns. So that's my guy, man, Brett Hundley.
No, you've
always
been on him. I just got on him this season and predicted him to win the Heisman, which is not going to happen. I think it's Gordon and Mariota in a two-man race. You know, Boykin might get invited from TCU, but, you know, I think that's what that's going to come down to. But I want to talk about Florida State and Jameis and the fact that you could say whatever you want, and this committee – you know, they're number one in AP, but, you know, in the college football playoff with the committee, they might put them two or three or whatever they do. I don't care. They're going to be in the four. If they beat Florida and then go ahead and beat Georgia Tech, which is going to be a tough game. Georgia Tech is tough. If they run a table, Florida State is in the top four. Now, you could talk about respect and being undefeated. Should they be one or scheduling or this and that, whatever it is, right? They'll be there. Now, of course, they want one or four so that they're playing in the Sugar Bowl and not down. You go to Pasadena because their fans can't, you know, it's harder to travel, right? But I just think, Ray, no matter what it is, whatever the controversy, Florida State is so clutch. They just find a way to win, and that means a lot. They're not playing total cream cakes, you know what I mean? So I'm impressed with Florida State. That's all I wanted to say.
No, you're 100% right, and like we said last time, you know, they play like old men. They play old man football. You know, they don't get down on themselves. They always hang around and give themselves a chance to win. They're very impressive, very impressive.
And you know what's so funny? Before we get to the NFL, I will say this. I don't think, you know, TCU was idle. Baylor had a good win over Oklahoma State, but it, you know, doesn't mean so much. So I don't think with Mississippi State being idle, Baylor will leapfrog them. I could see Baylor moving ahead of TCU this week just because they played head-to-head. And I think Ohio State could leapfrog TCU, although they struggled with Indiana for a bit. But I will say this, don't sleep on the fact that if Missouri somehow loses, Georgia gets in that SEC title game. Georgia is right there at number eight, and they're looming. I think Georgia with Chubb and Gurley, I don't think, you know, they're completely out of it yet. I don't know what you think about that, because if they beat Georgia Tech, Georgia gets a good win, and then they, you know, win SEC and beat Alabama, Georgia's still in the picture.
So you're saying these two lost teams now can still be in the game?
Well, only because of the fact that if Georgia happened to beat Bama in the SEC title game, there's no way the committee could not put Georgia in. You know what I mean? I mean,
you got to have at least one SEC team, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, let's talk about Sundays. I mean, overall, the big landscape, we both thought Seattle would beat Arizona. They did it. Give Arizona credit. Their defense played tough. But you know what? When you don't have Fitzgerald, it's easier to stick Floyd and Brown. Brown made a great catch. Stanton didn't look so great. Cardinals defense looked good. But I'll say this, Russell Wilson, he's just the hero the most. And Chancellor coming back, the Seattle defense looks good. Seems like they got all their bickering behind them. It's building up to a great Thursday night Thanksgiving night football game between the Niners and Seahawks. I cannot wait for that. And it's going to be fascinating, this playoff push, Ray, to see if the Seahawks and Niners can catch the Eagles or Cowboys or the Cardinals. You know what I mean? This whole little mix of, like, can the NFC West get the three teams? Can the Seahawks and Niners catch either the Eagles and Cowboys? That's going to be fascinating to me. Or will one of those teams go home? You know?
And who would have thought that, you know, the team on the top is the Cardinals, even after the loss? So that was
interesting to me.
Remember,
we said they got a tough schedule. They could wind up losing out.
What's also interesting to me, a takeaway, is New England is running away with the AFC. It looks like it's going to be New England, Denver. Denver's another one of those teams where, you know, I guess with all of their history.
They found their running game. C.J. Anderson on Ray's fantasy team was very happy about that performance, right, Ray?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And what's still crazy is the NFC South can even be won by Tampa Bay, if you want to go crazy. But New Orleans is 4-6, Atlanta's 4-7, and Carolina's 3-7-1. So you're going to have a team.
I got to ask you, should Mike Smith be fired? That was the worst. First of all, they call the timeout. Then they, on that third down play before the field goal, instead of running the clock more down, they do a passing play. I mean, the clock management was like not even high school football level.
This isn't the first time, though. That's the problem. This is not the first time.
If you're a Falcons fan today, you're throwing up all over yourself. That was horrendous what they did. And give props to Hoyer and Gordon. Hoyer didn't have the greatest game, but he did enough to solidify the victory in that clutch pass to get to the 50-yard line to Gordon. And then also, shout out to the Browns GM for drafting Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West, because that's what allowed them to release Ben Tate, save some money there, and they got a crew, Ray. And Isaiah is for real. He's on my fantasy team in one of my leagues, and he put up a game. I'm impressed. And you know, if the Ravens win tonight, it'll be the first time in NFL history that all four teams in a division will be three games over 500. And
That's crazy.
AFC North is back being the best division in football. Amazing.
That's
Ray.
Crazy. That really is.
Isn't it?
And you know what? At 7-4, if the Ravens win, they're in second place, tied with Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And it could be that all of those teams finish above 500. Could you imagine if you have a division where the division winner, you know, let's say it's Cleveland, or let's say it's Cincinnati, or let's say it's Pittsburgh. You're going to win the division at 10-6, and then it might come down to tiebreakers. You might have, you know.
And that's why Cincinnati's got the edge with that tie. It helps them.
Right. Well, better than a loss, I suppose. But, you know, obviously a win would have been better for them instead of being 7-3-1 if they
But they got that big win. Give them credit. That, you know, I didn't know if they could do it. Two back-to-back wins at New Orleans, and then they go and beat the Texans. So the Bengals, you know, Giovanni didn't do much, but he came back. And Mohamed Sanu, you know what, Ray? I want to add two underrated MVPs. You know, like, not real league MVPs, but team MVPs, Golden Tate and Mohamed Sanu. Really impressive guys. Happy for both of them. And A.J. Green looks like he's back too, you know?
Good for them. You know, you hate to see injuries bring a whole season down, bring a whole team down for the season. So, like, we shouted out the Raiders for winning their game. Shout out the Bengals for, hopefully for them, I know, you know, they're in your division, but riding the ship. I mean, you want to see teams, you want to see them spinning out of control. If you beat them, you beat them. You know, if you're the better team and you out execute and you outplay them, that's fine. But you don't want to see teams just lose it like that.
Hey,
you know,
and you got to say that guy for Detroit, that was Bush League. Rayola was going to get fined, not suspended, but for the last play against the Patriots, potentially going at the guy's defensive lineman's leg. That's horrible for the Lions. That's not cool.
Yeah, and that's not cool, especially when you talk about injuries.
Right, and give the Broncos and Chargers credit. They both won tough games. Dolphins played their butts off for Hank. And the Rams, I really thought they could win that game. I was almost right. They put up a great – Jeff Fisher is underrated coach of the year too. put up a great performance. But the Chargers, you know, with don't forget, they still are alive and still could have a dog in the race. With Ryan Matthews running the ball, Phillip Rivers can, you know, remain somewhat healthy. The Chargers are don't sleep on them. They still could make a factor. So what do you think about tonight? Ravens at Saints in New Orleans.
Ooh.
I'll let you pick it first.
I think the Ravens need to run the ball. I think Justin Forsett, who up until now was a role player, he needs to run the ball. They need to dominate the line of scrimmage. And for some reason, I just have a feeling that the Saints are ready to turn it around. So I think the Saints and Drew Brees is the Drew Brees that we know. He's going to spread it out, and he's going to – get, what, 6, 7, 8 receivers involved. Ingram's been running the ball real well up the middle. No, I think the Saints are going to win pretty easily. I think the Ravens are going to get stifled a little bit on offense. I like the Saints 31-20.
Ouch. 31-20. Okay. You know, I've been back and forth all day. I think maybe Flacco, some good karma, thinking that maybe, you know, they come back to New Orleans where they won the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's a different team, different roster. But I think the Saints, there's no way they lose two in a row at home. The Bengals beat them, but the Bengals have a little bit more talent than the Ravens. But I do think that the Ravens can score on these guys. So I actually think it's going to be a little bit more points out there. I got the Saints win in this one, 27-23. But Flacco, I think, will throw for 3 touchdowns. I think at the end of the day, though, the Saints are going to get some sort of turnover and look for Pierre Thomas to come back and be a little bit of a factor, maybe 60 yards and a touchdown. Fantasy playoffs are around
the corner.
Ray, can you make the playoffs, or are you in the running? What's going on with your teams, man?
I am in a critical matchup tonight. Yeah. 5-6 in our league. I need to go 6-6. That would mean winning. What, 5 in a row? I started out 1-5. It was terrible. Made some free agent moves. I need Justin Forsett and Sammy Watkins.
And then your Bills defense.
And my Bills D. Well, the Jets are driving, so the Jets are at least in field goal range. My man Sammy Watkins hasn't caught anything, so I need Justin Forsett to have a big game. We're in a PPR league, so just throw them the ball, even if it's those little dink and dunks. They add up.
And in our that's our CBS league. In our Yahoo league, I think I don't know if you still. I think Stacy might have got you, but you still might be alive.
Yeah, he got 150. Yeah, he put up a big number on me this week.
I think I got a shot.
I'm out on that one.
I got a shot. Well, look, great show. We'll be back strong on Friday. Like Ray said, we got some guests in the queue coming up soon. So as soon as we, you know, get it solidified, we'll let you know. NBA and NFL guests. You know, so that should be fun. And it's one of those things where you got a little treat. Sit back, enjoy the rest of the Jets and Bills, and then you got Ray. I love these Monday night doubleheaders. I can't get enough of it. I mean, you know, you don't want it to be these circumstances. But
football, it's great to see two live games like we have in the opening Monday night.
It's always fun for football fans. So great show. Let's go Knicks. Hopefully they win tonight. I don't think, you know, Howard's going to be out for a bit, so maybe the Knicks can beat undermanned Houston Rockets team. And I hope the Cavs get it together, man, and beat the Magic tonight. They need to stop the bleeding and have a kumbaya moment in the locker room.
So, well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Eat a lot. Spend time with your family.
We'll be back Friday.
We'll see you on Friday.
Three great games. Well, Lions-Bears is not so great. Cowboys-Eagles is, and then the classic at night. Niners, Seahawks, and Ray and Tay will be back Friday. And, of course, we'll have some good college football games with rivalry week and stuff, Arizona State, yada, 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 yada. Great show, and thanks for listening like always. And we're out. Ray and Tay, talking.
See you on Friday. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy that turkey. Peace.